Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Pastor James Soy. On behalf of my family, Pia, and my three boys, we want to say thank you, First Philippine Baptist Church, for your generosity and your goodness to our family and the way you welcomed us and just gave us a great hospitality. And Houston is beautiful and a little hot, but I heard that it's not that hot yet. It's really my privilege to speak before you, and it's an honor to God that I'm here. Really, every time I preach anywhere, you know, I'm just humbled by what God is doing in my life and through my family. And it's amazing to see what you guys just witness. You really witness what it means to follow Jesus. You've witnessed people being sent off to become missionaries, to send them out to make disciples, and you witness what it looked like to be in Christ, that once you give your life to Him and decide to follow Him by faith, that you do it through baptism, and it's a profession of your faith in Him. And so I hope you were blessed this morning, just this couple, as we've witnessed these amazing tributes to what it means to follow Christ. And this morning, before we start, let's pray and give honor to God as we come to Him through His message. Father, we thank You for just the privilege to be in Your house. For better is one day in Your courts than a thousand elsewhere. And Holy Spirit, we honor You, we praise You, for You are with us, residing in us, teaching us, guiding us. And Jesus, we thank You for who You are as our Savior. We thank You for Your great sacrifice. We are not worthy of You, but You make us worthy. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You made us righteous. And God, I just pray that as we look to Your Word, as we hear from Your message, God, I pray that You would give me the boldness and the clarity to share Your truth to Your people, to the individuals and families You brought here. God, we know that it's not an accident that we're all gathered here this morning. We know that You have a plan and a purpose. I pray, God, that You would continue to teach us, that You would encourage us and put a fire in our hearts to follow You wholeheartedly. Just like that young boy said that he wants to serve You forever. We want to serve You forever. We love You, we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. $6,772,470. That's how many people are living here in the Houston, Woodlands, Sugarland metropolitan statistical area. That is a lot of people. And really, as we witness your missionaries being sent off, as followers of Christ, God has given us a great mission. And with this mission, it's a challenge to reach all people and make disciples. But I believe before we even begin to take hold of our mission and begin this great challenge, I want us to understand this truth that I've discovered through Scripture, and that in my experience of ministry and even with meeting different pastors throughout my life, that really God changes the world through ordinary people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and are alive in the gospel and are convinced of the victory of Jesus Christ. I believe this truth is critical and crucial for followers of Christ to truly understand it, because again, the challenge for us as a church, the challenge for us as followers of Christ, is to go and make disciples. But this task is impossible for us. But what is impossible for man is possible for God. You see, God uses ordinary people to change the world. You don't have to be the smartest, the talented, the most gifted person. And when we look at Scripture time and time again, through the Old Testament to the New Testament, God uses ordinary people to change the world. Ordinary folks just like you and me. I grew up in the Philippines, in the region of Pangasinan, in Dagupan City. My dad was a fisherman. I went fishing all the time. And we were just ordinary folks. And I cannot imagine when I was about 7 that I could be here today, that God would take our family and take us into this journey of joining God's kingdom movement. This morning, as we go into scripture, I want us to talk about how to live a life on mission. That is the title of the message this morning. And how do we begin to join God's kingdom movement? How can you, as you sit in your seat, be like these women and men and young children who are ready to go to the Philippines? And how can we as a church, you as followers of Christ, reach the people of Houston, Woodlands, Sugarland, Pearland, Katy, and all your cities? Dustin Willis, author of Life and Community, said, "Everyday mission is not always about where you are going, but it's about being intentional wherever you are." I had the privilege to meet Dustin Willis at a conference several years back in Georgia, and his passion was to reach his community. That, if you think about it, this morning's message is fitting to the church because you have a mission team that's being sent off. We're celebrating our mothers this morning. Happy Mother's Day. And really to our moms, you are always on mission for your husband, for your children, for your families. And this morning, I truly believe that God is calling you to be on mission for Him. Again, God calls us to make disciples of all nations. But being on mission does not only happen when we go to the Philippines. No. Being on mission does not only happen when, if it's Evangelism Month, or if that's the theme of your church that year. Being on mission happens every day. Because when Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Matthew 28, he did not say, "Go, therefore, make disciples of nations on Evangelism Month, or when you go on mission year." No, he said it to them, "Go and make disciples." And that's every day. If we truly believe that truth, that God has called us to be on mission, amen, and that in order for us to be on mission for Christ, that we have to truly believe that God uses ordinary folks just like you and me, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are alive in the gospel and truly understand what the gospel means, not just have heard about it through church or VBS or watching a sermon on TV, but you are truly convinced that Jesus Christ is alive. How do we apply that in our lives? How do we go on mission every day? I'm going to read from Galatians 5, 16 to 25. And Galatians 16 to 25 is speaking about the battle of the flesh versus the spirit. And I want us to really pay attention to what I'm about to read because it's important. Because Galatians 5 through 16 through 25 really speaks about what is hindering us in applying this great truth that God has called us to be on mission. It says, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The truth is, we are in a spiritual battle every day. That if we look at our lives, the truth is, we are already on mission. The sad truth is that we're on mission for ourselves. That if you put a magnifying glass on your life, from the minute you wake up and the minute you go to sleep, and really, you can see what you're passionate about. You can see where you put your time, effort, and money into. And that's the battle we face every day. That if we truly know who Christ is in our lives and we truly desire to follow Him, the issue is we have a hard time applying it because there's certain things in our life that's hindering us. Because we truly are on mission for ourselves. We love following our lives. We love following our pleasures, our hobbies, the things that builds our wealth, our success, our egos. This morning, before we even begin to look at Scripture and apply our lives to be on mission, I really want us to address this truth, this fact that are we winning this battle that we face every day? Because I believe whoever wins this battle, for the minute you wake up and where you put your time and effort into, because the Bible says again in our Scripture, it says here, the flesh desires us to please Him. So, it's a struggle for us every day, but the Spirit goes against it. When you look at Scripture, Jesus was sharing the gospel, and as He shared the gospel, many were hearing, the Pharisees were listening, and the disciples were listening as well. And He would say things like, come follow Me, right? And I'll make you fishers of men. And then He would continue on as He teaches them, and He would call them out and says, take up your cross, deny yourselves, and follow Me. And if you think about it, what if Jesus can look at our lives right now? And actually, He is looking at our lives. But what if we had this face-to-face conversation with Him? He would probably compare us to that rich young ruler. In Matthew 19, we know the story of the rich young ruler, where this rich young ruler meets Jesus. And this rich young ruler was a good Christian person. He went to church. He was good. And he genuinely wanted to know how to inherit eternal life. And so he asked Jesus, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus says, well, obey the commandments, honor your father and mother. And he said to Jesus, great, I've done all that since my youth. So this rich young ruler was a good person. And we might even see ourselves in him. Went to church, paid his taxes, right? Good Christian man. But Jesus said to him, but you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and come follow Me. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and come follow Me. You see, this rich young ruler walked away disappointed, because the truth is, he was on mission for himself and not for God. He wasn't willing to let go of what he desired the most, his own life, his own pleasures, his riches, for his own glory, to follow Jesus. This morning, Are we on mission for ourselves? Are we on mission for God? I want us to really ask that question honestly. Are we on mission for ourselves or are we on mission for God? Are we winning the battle between our flesh and our own temptations and Satan's arrows? Or have we been so defeated so many times that we have forgotten what it looks like to walk by the Spirit? We have forgotten what it looks like to live by faith and not by sight. We have forgotten what it felt like to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to allow God to change us and transform our lives, transform our marriages, transform our families, teach us to be good fathers and mothers to our children and to set that example of what it looked like to follow Jesus. Have we forgotten what it felt like to share the gospel to a friend who is in need of a Savior, who is in need of hope in their life, who is in need of forgiveness, of restorations, because he or she has gone through scars, battles, and heartaches? Are we winning that battle this morning, church? Being life on mission really begins when we, as followers of Christ, are living in the Spirit, walking with God daily, allowing Him to change us inside and out, transforming us. Let's look at the book of Colossians, chapter 4, 2 through 6. And the book of Colossians is written by Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul is a great man of God, as we have heard from Pastor D, that he really was one of the most influential apostles who shared the gospel and spread the good news. And here he's writing a letter from prison because he's in jail for sharing the gospel. It's one of his first prison epistles, and he's writing to the church of Colossae, modern-day Turkey. And as he is writing this letter, he's really encouraging them to remain firm in their faith, to be aware and to be cautious of false teachers. And he really, in chapter 4, it's one of my favorite parts, is that he really paints this clear picture to them what it looks like to be on mission daily for God. You guys know one of the interesting things about the book of Colossians is that none of the apostles started the church of Colossae. I mean, none of the apostles started it. Not Matthew, not Peter. It was actually started by Epaphras, just an ordinary guy who Paul discipled. And did you guys know who started the church of Antioch, which I believe is one of the great churches of history, Christian history? The church of Rome, the church of Alexandria. Do you guys know who started it? Peter? Paul? Matthew? James? John? None of them. The Bible says some men, some guys. In Acts, it talks about the church of Antioch, and who started. And the Bible just says some guys. The Bible doesn't even mention their names. You see, God changes the world through ordinary people. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're looking at me and you said, you know, Pastor, I don't think God could use me. You know, I'm just... You know, a person that lives in Houston and I'm quiet or I'm not gifted. No, God can use you. Let's read Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 6. It says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Here, Apostle Paul begins what I believe is a crucial point to begin as followers of Christ of how to live a life on mission, which is prayer. My professor, Dr. Prosper Lee, in seminary would always say this before the start of the class. He would say, without prayer, there's no power. Without prayer, there's no power. And I love how Paul begins with prayer. And he not only says pray, he says continue steadfastly in prayer. You see, steadfastness means unwavering, engaged in, persist in, or give constant attention. So when we pray, we don't just pray once. We continue to pray throughout the day. We continue to seek God through prayer. And really, life on mission begins when we are on our knees, when we seek God in the morning. Because I truly believe when we seek the Lord in the morning, we are putting Him first. We are seeking to hear His voice. And as we seek Him in prayer, He speaks to us. He fills us up with His Spirit. And really, prayer is not just an option when we are in trouble. Prayer is not just an option when someone is sick or I need a job. God would still hear your prayer, but really, if you are not praying every day and your prayer life is not as strong, and if you look at your life again with that magnifying glass and maybe you prayed just once this week, the truth is prayers are a direct line to God. If you rely on me or your elders to help you in growing with God, you're going to struggle. Because the amazing things about God is that He is with us today. The Holy Spirit is with you, ready to teach you, mold you to look like Christ. And not only did He say, pray steadfastly, He says, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And that when we are praying, we are always awake. Not that you're opening your eyes, but as you are going through your daily routine, you're spiritually alert of what's happening. Because as you pray, again, you're asking God to guide you. You're asking God to give you opportunities to be a witness, to be an encourager, to be someone that can help someone who is in need. But if you are not watchful, if you're not alert, I truly believe Satan is going to trip you up. Satan's going to use his vices that he knows that he's got you so locked up that as soon as Satan uses this, you're pretty much done and in his cage, away from God's presence. And not only are we watchful, but he says, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. That's we pray, we are thankful. Have you ever witnessed that when you're praying, right? When you're praying, please don't begin to just say, Lord, I need this, I need that, I need that, I need that. But as you come to God who is holy, who is righteous, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, Paul, he says, praying thanksgiving, that you give praise and honor to who he is. And as you pray and thank him, he gives you this thankful heart. And even though you're going through trials, even though you're having a hard time in your marriage, even though your job is not what you want, even though you're, you know, even with your family, your kids, or with, as our young people here, or teenagers, and your school is not doing that great, when we pray in thankfulness, I truly believe God gives us this understanding that no matter what's happening, no matter if the world is upside down, He is good. He is a good, good Father. That He has provided us with a family and truly the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ. When we began the church that we planted in San Francisco, my wife and I, Pia, we began in prayer. I still remember moving in 2013 of May And it was just my two boys and my wife. And when we got to San Francisco, we were overwhelmed by the challenge ahead. We didn't have a team. We didn't have a sending church. And we knew how difficult it will be to share the gospel to a very liberal city. Very difficult soil in terms of sharing the word, planting the seed. But we began in prayer. And I still remember us every night just praying that God would go ahead of us. That God would provide us a team. That God would bring different people all around the country that God is leading to this church, Interfaith SF. You see, without prayer, we wouldn't be able to do what we have done in that church. And the truth is, we have seen more miracles in our lives the last 4 years than ever. It was because we really got on our knees. And to be on mission for Christ, it begins in prayer, church. And then in verse 3, he says, pray for us also, that God may open a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which I ought to speak. Here Paul is urging the church of Colossae to pray for him. To pray for him because he understands the challenge that he is facing. And really, as we have prayed for your mission team, that is a healthy way of creating an awesome culture of prayer. That we should be praying for your elders. That we should be praying for one another. That we should be praying for missionaries all around the world. And that as we pray for them, pray that they would make it clear. Because when we're sharing the gospel, it's not just something that we share that, you know, it's not like, oh, there's a sale, here's what's happening at the store, you know, there's a sale at Walmart. No, it's an amazing news, amen? Sharing the word of God is an amazing, great news. And Paul here says, make it clear. And not only to make it clear that you pray that God will open a door for the word. And here Paul is asking the church in Colossae that as he continues to share the word to people in his cells, because he's in prison. So he's constantly living a life on mission, even though he's in prison. Now, how many of us would start complaining? Because I would. If I'm in prison for Christ and I'm tired and I'm beaten, I'll probably say, you know what? I want to go home. I'm done. But here, Paul is continuing to be on mission for Christ while in prison. And so he's asking the church of Colossae, please pray for me. Pray for me that I won't be discouraged, that I won't give up, that God will open a door for me. Speaking of doors, I really believe that God has put us in places where he's opening doors for us to share. And again, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be on mission in the Philippines. That's great. You should do that if God has called you to go there. But your mission field is here. Your mission field is where you work. Your mission field is where you go to school, where you go shopping for your groceries, where you pump your gas, or if it's that Chick-fil-A on Stafford that we went twice already. Man, some good food here. Your mission field is here. Pray that God will give you opportunities to share. Because I truly believe God is always moving and working. We're just too blind to see where he's moving because we are occupied with our own lives and we're not praying for God to go ahead of us. And lastly, Paul says, pray that I might proclaim the gospel to make it clear. Proclaiming really means is to make it clear and plain. I love that your mission team is going. I love that this church is about going and making disciples. The front of your sign says changing lives, making disciples. Amazing. That's great. But as she proclaimed the gospel, made it clear of who Jesus is. The next point that Paul points out is that not only we pray, but we walk in wisdom. In verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. You see, when we share the gospel, we have to do it wisely. There's this tendency that people think who are not Christian, people believe that Christians are judgmental. Christians are always telling us you're going to hell if you don't change your life, right? If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. And actually, it's kind of true. Living in San Francisco the last 4 years and meeting people who literally are running away from religion and going to a place where religion is a non-factor, right? Not even part of the culture. And as we shared the gospel to many people, I was able to really hear their experiences, and I was ashamed, and I had to apologize. Because really, when we share the gospel, we must do it in wisdom towards others. Because, again, Paul here shares about being effective in sharing the gospel. Because you could stand outside Walmart and say, hey, here's a pamphlet, have a great day, and they walk away. But, you know, that's great. But if you do it in wisdom, I think it's, you have to go more than that. And here Paul wants us to really allow people to see Christ in our lives. In my experience as a pastor, the most impactful way of sharing the gospel is when we set that example and people see it in our own lives. People see it in our families' lives. Because we could say, praise God, amen, I want to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength. But can you do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? And can you do that when you're going through heartaches, when you're going through a hard time? Can you continue to be an example? One of the first people I met in San Francisco was a guy named Abdillah. He was a Muslim from Indonesia. And the minute we saw each other, it's really funny. We just moved in San Francisco, and he just moved from Indonesia. We were at the gas station, and I looked at him, and you know, I'm praying and looking where God is working, right? And I looked at him. We looked at each other. We just had this like, hey. God, I guess I look Indonesian a little bit. And he said, are you Filipino? He's like, are you Indonesian? I'm like, no, but how are you? And so when I built this relationship with Abdillah, I have to do it in wisdom. I can't just say, hey, you know what, your religion, Islam, is just dumb, you know, just follow Jesus. No, I would totally just disrespect his culture and what he's brought up into. But walking in wisdom is really allowing God to teach us to have his compassion for people, no matter what their background is, no matter what their nationality is, and seeing them as Christ sees them. And you see, in my relationship with Abdillah, and I'm still praying for him to know Christ, I was able to build that relationship and really show grace, right? And have the wisdom of not right away trying to tell him that Islam is not the truth, but get to know him as a person. Get to know what he believes. And then find the truths that we believe in Christ and plug that in there. And allow God, who is the only one who opens people's hearts to him, to do it himself. But time and time again, as we invited him over to our home, we invited him over to eat adobo, invited him over to eat, and I was able to eat some of his food. He was able to see what it looks like to follow Jesus in our lives. Paul then continues and says, making the best use of your time. I love this because life on mission is every day. And that we have to be good stewards of our time. And here he says, make every opportunity count. Make every opportunity count. That is best use of your time. No matter where you are, make it count. There's a Walgreens near our home. And we would always go to this Walgreens to buy toiletries and everything. And there's this lady named Loda. And really, in our area, not a lot of Filipinos, probably like 20 Filipinos. Majority was Anglo and Chinese. And Loda was there. And I knew right then and there, and I still remember meeting her, and I was tired. You know, we just moved in. I wanted to get our toilets and, you know, and get all our stuff and get out of there. And but the minute I met Loda, God said, and really just punched me in my gut, talk about me. And I don't know if you ever experienced that, talk about me. It just punches you in your gut, and the Holy Spirit just pushes you, right? And at that moment, I knew what I had to do. Even though I was tired, even though I just wanted to get my toilet trees and just get out of there. And there I said, hey, Loda, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm James, by the way. I just moved here. And right away, we built that relationship, and we just got to talking. And a few months later, I met Loda's dad, Francisco, in his 80s, lived in San Francisco for pretty much 50 years. And he invited me over to his home. And they're a Catholic family, right? So here, I'm trying to live a life on mission, and I'm meeting them. And it's amazing how God uses these opportunities we have. From the minute we meet someone and then connecting that. And there I was able to really share the gospel to them, pray for them. And they were open to hearing the word. And the cool thing was this. We were praying for a woman of peace, Lydia. And guess what Lotus mom's name is? Lydia. You see, in the next couple weeks, Francisco and Lydia came to know Christ. Because we were on mission for Christ. We were living life on mission, making best use of our time. The last thing as I close, Paul talks about living a life on mission happens when we have grace and flavor. If you're Filipino, this is going to really hit home. It says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Sharing the gospel must be done not only in wisdom, but also in gracious flavor. That when we are trying to appeal to others of the gospel, we do it in grace. Amen. We do it in grace because we know that we are also saved by grace. That we are also not better than them. That we are in the same boat. The only thing is we have the hope in Christ. In right, we have the truth. And so that if we meet someone who is different from us, we meet someone that has a different background, we must do it in wisdom and grace. And then Paul says here, gracious flavor. Why is that? Because our words must be seasoned with grace and flavor. It means that, and when Paul used this word, seasoned with salt, salt back then, and it's still used today, it was for two purposes. It was for preservative, obviously, to keep food from spoiling because they didn't have refrigerators back then, right? But also, salt was used to make food taste good. And here, I grew up in the Philippines, like I mentioned, by the beach, Dagupan City, known for bangus. Now, bangus is called milkfish, and it's one of Filipinos love bangus. And the process of making bangus is this, that you have to clean the fish, put garlic and salt it, and you got to leave it outside, right? And really, salt is its main ingredient. Without salt, it's going to spoil. So with this illustration, if you think about it, when we're sharing the gospel and we're speaking to someone, we must add flavor. We must appeal and make it appealing to them why they need to know who Christ is. Because the truth is, we are so excited about our kids' graduation. We are so, and that's good. We are so excited about the Rockets, right, being in the playoffs. And I apologize. I'm sorry. Okay, they're a great team. We are so excited about sharing our food, about our wedding anniversaries. And we shout it to the world about our fiancé, right? Or our future fiancé, Right? We would talk about the woman of our dreams, the man of our dreams, and we would shout to the rooftops about it. But how much more should we shout when we talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our hope in this life? And so Paul here is saying, as you walk in wisdom and living life on mission, do it in grace and flavor and appeal to someone and tell them your story. Tell them why he is your redeemer. Tell them why he is your hope in this life. Tell them why that he is the only one that could fill the void in your life, that no man or woman can fill that void and truly love you. That is who I'm talking about, Christ. So we must appeal to the world. Appeal to your friends. Because when we share the gospel with someone, it's not just some news. It's not just some statement. It's not just some truth. It is the greatest truth. It is the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive. And if you're sitting here this morning, you know that. You have experienced that great love of God. You have experienced the Holy Spirit moving in you. This morning, as I asked the worship team to come on up, the burden for us, really, is that we're in this battle with our flesh. And the Spirit desires us to walk in God. Because it's not a mystery what our mission is. Our mission is to go and make disciples. But the problem from all of us is that we are losing this battle. We are losing the battle of walking with the Spirit and allowing Him to transform us. And the truth is, we are on mission for ourselves. And that's the battle I face every day, even as a pastor. Because we are living in a culture where the culture tells you to love yourself. The culture tells you to enrich yourself, that it's about you. It's about your pleasures. It's about your happiness. It's about your glory. But when we look at Scripture, that's the opposite. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. The bottom line is this. Living a life on mission happens when we are intentional in praying constantly. Not just one time, constantly. When we are walking in wisdom and are gracious and appealing to the world. This morning, if God has spoken to you and the Holy Spirit is reminding you of who He is in your life. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have not decided to follow Him as your Lord and Savior. Or you're struggling, like I am. I struggle every day too. I encourage you to make this commitment, not just today, but every day, to allow God to use you for His kingdom movement. Because we have a great mission here in Houston. Over 6 million people. And there's this word in the Bible that's called oikos. And oikos means it's your household, your circle of influence. And I guarantee you, God has put you in certain workplaces, in certain communities here in Houston, that maybe you have a neighbor who do not know Christ. Or maybe you have a neighbor who said they're a Christian, but they never go to church, and that their life does not reflect what it looks like to follow Jesus. And that the truth is, they're far from God. And God is calling you to be on mission for Him so that He could use you to impact and change the world, to change your city of Houston and all the other cities around it. If God is speaking to you this morning, as we close our eyes and pray, I pray that you make that commitment. That you would either talk to me later on outside, I would love to pray with you, or talk to one of the elders. Because if you are in need of encouragement, if you are in need of direction of how to follow Christ and to be on mission, we are here as a church to guide you, to encourage you, to walk beside you through the good times and the bad, so that you may know your purpose in Christ, so you may join His kingdom movement. God, I pray for each individual here, each family represented. I pray, God, that if there's anyone here who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you would open their hearts and minds to your truth. That, God, that you know them. You know their heart's desires, their dreams. You know their scars and their sorrows and the things they've gone through or are still going through. That, God, you are here to rescue us so that we can have life everlasting. You are here to fill the void that's in our hearts that no man or woman can fill, or riches or job, that only you can fill that void. And God, if there's anyone here this morning who's searching or maybe wanting to rededicate their lives so that they could live a life on mission every day, not just on Sundays, but every day, God, I pray that you would speak to them so clearly, that you would give them the boldness and the courage to desire to let go of their own sins, of their own desires, for their own wills in their lives, that they would just trust you. And God, I pray for all of us as we battle our own temptations, our own flesh. God, I pray that we would seek you in prayer daily, that we would be constantly be on our knees, that we would look to you for power, we would look for you for direction, and that as we do that, we would walk in wisdom towards the people that you put around us, that you would give us the words of grace, that we would shout it to the rooftops, we would shout it to the streets, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And God, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for using First Philippine Baptist Church to be a beacon of hope and light in this community, in this city of Houston. God, I pray that you continue to be with the leaders and the members as they proclaim the gospel, changing lives and making disciples. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.